Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Today I got two special guests with me, my homies, Landon Hill and David Johnson. Good David is calling all the way in from that good South Korea, not the North one, but South Korea. Thank you, brother.
I appreciate it, man.
You know, I'm not going to ask what post you at. I ain't asking none of that stuff. I don't need the army coming at me, B. I don't need them type of problems. But I appreciate you, brother.
Glad to be here, man.
That's what's up. So before we jump into everything, let me give everybody what the topics tonight are, do a quick update, and then we're just going to jump right into it. So the topics are definitely going to be Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Dallas. We may make mention of what happened in Atlanta, and I admittedly don't have a bunch of information there. And then I'm going to start the way that I always start off before we go into our guests. So before we get too crazy, I need to report to you all. I want to first say thank you. The podcast has reached, at this point, 136,600 hits. That's a lot of stuff, man, for us to be doing this basically out the trunk. No, we don't have no sponsors. We don't have any of that stuff, man. That's just kind of y'all listening every single week, pushing it out, sharing it with folks. And we cracked, you know, we went ghetto gold up in this piece. So I appreciate that. If I was paying more attention.
You're 40 out here.
I'm just saying, if I was paying more attention and doing a better job, what I would have done is at 100,000, I would have did a special show. But at 150, I have some special things planned, some big ideas to kind of roll out. And I'm going to make a way for folks that are not able to be here live to be able to make comments on things. I'll have it to where you can send in a recording off of your iPhone or your Android, and we'll be able to answer that stuff online. And then also, before we jump into the big, important, serious stuff, I definitely want to yuck it up with my friends just for a little bit. So, Landon, you know, real quick introduction for the people, brother. Who are you, dog, while I take a drink of whatever it is that I'm drinking in my cup?
given tonight's topics, I'm just a black man in America that's trying to survive. Born and raised Oakland, California, work with youth, just trying to do my part to make a difference, man. I don't know what else the people necessarily need, but, that's me.
That's what's up, man. Young David.
Hey, I'm Staff Sergeant David Johnson. Just a quick disclaimer. The opinions that you're going to hear from me are solely from me. They are not a depiction of my current employer, nor do I speak on behalf of the United States government in reference to the topics at hand. I speak for me and mine, those that carry my name, and those that depend on my work to provide their meals and whatnot.
That's what's up.
But I'm glad to be on here, man.
And I got to get Dave props. Dave is a person that pushed for everybody to have it here. It's David's fault that I had to go out and buy this expensive Skype recorder, you feel me, that he ain't reimbursing me for. But it's good, though, you know, because I'm a good friend like that, you feel me? You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, man, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Man, then that's what's up. Well, I expect $5 from you. So I'm broke out here in these streets, B. Yo, back to you, Drea. I appreciate all the love that I'm getting on Periscope right now and the folks that's on Facebook. Thank you all. So before we go into the serious stuff, yes, y'all have asked me about Paris beforehand. So I will be leaving for Paris at the end of the month. I will be there. I'm going to go write in the places where folks like Baldwin wrote. Not saying that I have any type of Baldwin writing skills, but I do plan to come back with a book written, a rough draft. I plan for it to at least one of them to be done. I plan to go write under the Eiffel, B. You know what I'm saying? So Negroes in Paris. That's what's about to be happening.
Go up to the top and write.
You said what?
Go up to the top and write.
Yeah, the heights, B. Oh, come on now. listen. As we talk about not profiling black men, there is two things that you can definitely profile me on. And, Negro, that is heights and swimming. Don't put me up too high. Don't put me in water. I'm good. I will come and I will walk by water. I will put my feet in the water. But check this out. I think if you get killed by a shark, it's your fault. Because you should have been at their house. So, that is... I'm just letting you know. I never understood why there was more than one Jaws movie. Negro, why are you back in the water? You want to die. That's what you want to do. Your mama don't love you. So, So yeah, man. So that's what that is. But I'm really excited about this 136,000 number. I had no idea.
Congratulations.
Also, yes. Landon, I want to shout. Landon, can you shout out your own podcast, brother?
Oh yeah, bro. I realized I didn't even do that. But yeah, I am part of. If you all remember the epic Mylan Drake podcast, where he was on here. I am one third of the Hip Hop Roundtable podcast crew. So eventually, although we had invited him several times now, Charles will join us on the podcast, pop discussion, debate, etc. But you know, be sure to check us out. We everywhere that Charles is. Basically, we're trying to be like him. So it takes three of us, but
I do not recall any of these invites. The devil is a liar, brother.
We're just at Starbucks and we invited you.
Brother. Stop lying to these people. Number two, there was somebody that just asked if I had seen Super Jaws. No, I ain't seen Super Jaws because there shouldn't have been a Jaws after one. But thank you for that question, brother. David, is there anything you want to say, brother, before we jump into this other territory?
Yes. Okay. Before we get entirely too serious, there's a couple things that I'd like to point out. Landon, I completely agree with you because Hollywood Cole is not Hollywood Cole for no reason.
I don't know what Hollywood Cole means. He avoided
the platinum and gold mic that's sitting probably to his right, my left. I'm just saying. And most folks, when they write books, they're hoping to be next to a good computer or a consistent signal. This man is going to another continent for inspiration.
The inspiration was already there. He's just going there to finish.
I'm going there to finish. Check this out, bro. I grew up like super broke. So, you know how they were talking about Super Jaws? I grew up super broke. So, I got some cheap tickets. I got some plug jug tickets. Now, listen, I don't know where I'm sitting on that plane. I might be sitting in baggage luggage. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I might be sitting. I might be sitting under the plane with the dogs because I got a real cheap ticket. It's the only reason I'm going. I wanted to go to Brazil. I've been dreaming about Brazil since I was 10 years old. And then they had the super mosquito be born. So now they got Terminator mosquitoes in Brazil. I can't go right now. But I will make it. Brazil was the ultimate place that I wanted to go. But we're going to work that out. But so let's pivot into some pretty serious territory. So for most of you that know, you can go to energyconverters.org and see all of my writing. That's all in one place. I write at a bunch of other places like HuffPost and EdPost and Ebony picked up something, NBC picked up something. But most of the stuff is at Energy Converters. And I've been writing a bit differently lately because it's just been a real assault on black folks. And so I have watched personally the Alton Sterling video probably more than 30 times at this point. I've watched it a lot. I've watched the other video that came out. And then to have a video come out right after that, the Philando Castile video in Minnesota, watching that and just experiencing that and just really trying to process those things. And as we processing those things, and I'm thinking like, yo, I work in a school district with a black superintendent. I got a black school board member and my friend is a black assembly member. And I know all these powerful folks. I'm like, I've heard all these pundits and people talking. I haven't heard from young people. So while I'm thinking about, okay, how am I going to put this thing together for young black folks to talk? Then we had the tragedy that happened in Dallas. So people that's listening to me probably have read my stuff, but I want to give the floor to you folks to let y'all talk a little bit about what your reactions were while I also field questions from Facebook Live and Periscope. So folks, keep asking your questions on Periscope and Facebook Live. I'm jotting them down. We will get to all of them, I promise. But whoever wants to start can go right ahead.
Yeah, Des, you want to jump in?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so be it that I am anywhere from 10 to 13 hours ahead of the United States currently, catching all the news, like what really opened my eyes to it was Facebook, and I just saw a drastic change in people's statuses and just the viral pictures and the videos. The videos is what shocked me the most. But I think my approach to this topic comes from using my current occupation and just how race issues in general impact the ranks. Now, again, I don't speak for everybody. I'm just speaking from my foothold in the trenches. It's crazy that it takes situation like this for people to voice opinions. And the first thing I noticed was the immediate divide. You have people that are pro-black, if you will, people that are pro-police, and people that want to share historic memes to try to deflect what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
And what I've had to process and endure is some of these people that are on my Facebook friend list, some are, some were, you find out how people really feel about situations like this. From the comments of, you all need to just listen to the police and stop fighting, to let's arm up and take out the police, but if we can beat the police, the military's next. Now, I'm sitting back in a country that's relatively safe. I won't say where I am is the most safe, but historically and just from a generic standpoint, Korea is very safe. I mean, people don't come outside till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. You got kids playing in the street 2, 3 in the morning just because the crime rate is low here. Walking around, being on subways and whatnot, I stand out like an eyesore in that, you know, people look at me like National Geographic, like they just haven't seen black people in person. And I look at that and I'm like, okay, this comes from a place of ignorance or just never having experience. Then to equate how easy it is for a black person to be profiled stateside,
uh-huh.
How situations like this expose that racism isn't gone, that there's still an unspoken set of Jim Crow laws that exist, it baffles me, man. You got people that have been here 2-3 years that have families in the States that are considering getting assignments in Germany and other overseas places because they don't feel safe coming home.
So, Dave, what's some of the things that you some of the reactions that you had to folks in the ranks with you?
Ah, man. Okay, so there's an individual I work with.
And again, bro, listen, check this out. I do not need drones coming by the lake in Oakland. All right? I'm just letting you know. I don't want USA. I don't want no problems, big fella. I'm just letting you know, bro.
No drones. I promise.
All right, you say that. Because they used the bomb to blow up that dude. But go ahead.
Yeah, but that wasn't military. Anywho, so it's an individual I work with that grossly outranks me. By position, he could positively or negatively influence career decisions I have moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that me and this individual were Facebook friends. And after the second view or the second angle of the Alton Sterling video came out, his initial post after the second one came out was something to the effect of, maybe if he had not fought, they wouldn't have had to shoot him. Only untrained animals don't follow instruction. Now, my initial reaction, be it that I just had Achilles surgery, so I'm in a walking boot, was to suit up, walk outside, go to his door, knock on his door, and then completely rearrange his face and wait for somebody to come find him.
I don't think you can do that in the Army, brother.
But here's the thing.
Listening right now, I hope this is...
Cam denotes ability. I can. Is it right? No. Will there be consequences? Of course. But what I'm trying to impress upon people, one of the things I had to say to him in person, not on Facebook, was, yes, being in the military, there's rules you got to follow. Uh-huh. But you got to understand, people are people. I was me before I joined. I will be me after my service. So there are some things that even within the uniform, the rules can't account for. They do, but they don't. Like when you press those buttons and you demean people to such a level, you can't expect that uniform to save you. It's cloth. It's got zippers and buttons. You put it on and take it off.
Well, so just hearing like your reaction, I want to make sure I get, you know, I want to pull Landon in there, because I definitely gathered where you're coming from on that, because I can definitely personally relate to like the way folks is reacting. And I'm gonna read some of the comments that I got. Like, I got comments. I'm working on an article right now that's probably gonna come out tonight or tomorrow, like based off of comments alone. Landon, what were when you saw these videos, when you saw all this stuff happening, general reaction, brother?
So I watched the initial Alton Sterling video that came out. I was planning on watching the second one, but, you know, within the first 5 seconds, I saw a big hole in dude's chest, and I couldn't bring myself to do it after already seeing the first one a few times. And then watching the Philando Castile video, again, it was just one of those things where I had to watch it because I made myself watch it, although I knew it was probably not going to be good for my sanity, but I had to make sure that I actually felt, you know, exactly what was going on and understood exactly what the circumstances were. But I think what has been the biggest, the thing that's been weighing heaviest on me is like these ripple effects, man. And what I mean by that is, so I work at a youth organization, and I'm doing a class right now. It's for our teenagers, but I have a lot of both middle school, high school, and college age students that I'm working with. And the fact that it's an obligation, a responsibility of mine to have to discuss these issues with them, that they have to process this in a way where they are directly affected by it, not, oh, you know, yeah, it's really sad what happened to those people, but this could be me, or this could be my dad or my brother or my uncle or my cousin. You know, looking and seeing, you know, Alton's son crying on national TV, like, the fact that, you know, a person's life is lost is bad enough, but then when you get down to the fact that this carries so much weight, like being in church, I was in church today and people sobbing, weeping, my brother-in-law, like, literally breaking down, like, these are things that people might not necessarily take into consideration unless you are part of our community.
Right.
And just to know that it's having this effect on so many people, it's just heavy, man. It's been very, very heavy. And to, you know, hear 13, 14-year-olds talk about how they're scared, how they're fearful, how they, you know, they don't trust cops. Or, another thing that I've been really confused about, I have a 12-year-old in the class that I'm leading where, you know, he's kind of nonchalant about it. He's like, I don't think it really affects me. And on one hand, I'm like, you know, dude, this does affect you. You need to know that it affects you. But on the other hand, it's like,
you breaking up.
There's a part of me that's glad he doesn't have to carry that weight around with him. Like, he's not, you know, like a young black man to be a young black man.
Right now, you're breaking up.
So you know, that's been. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you back.
Okay. So yeah, I mean that's it though. Just the fact that, you know, I'm conflicted because, you know, I want a young black man just to be a boy essentially. But the fact that there are all these kind of ripple effects on our community and then on the families of those who are directly affected, it's just heavy to see that, like, everywhere I go, everybody that I talk to, and the fact that this is not something that we can, you know, just escape from, where just, you know, the next day it's all over, but we constantly have to deal with this and process it. And, you know, it's not just our own personal lives, but it's all of this other stuff that's happening outside of that as well.
Right. So I want to just do a quick update. So thank you to I think it's like 40 folks that's on Periscope right now. It's a bunch of folks that just joined on Facebook Live. Cynthia, Kyoko, Edwin, Lisbeth, Charles, Vanessa, Shannon, Ryan, Brian, Jessica, and then Ivory, Alex. It's a bunch of folks on that I can't name everybody. It's a lot of folks that came on at once, so it slowed down the feed a little bit, so I had to shut down the internet part that I have some notes on. But the point is, so y'all some elegant brothers, and I appreciate y'all talking about how that hit you in such an elegant way, right? And here's the thing. So, you know, one of the things that I've seen is, like, folks don't see us as human, right? Or they like us. Like, there are a lot of folks that like me. There's a lot of professional white people that like me, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I mean, I got degrees to back up certain things. I speak a certain type of way. But, you know, they don't know how I probably am when I'm just talking to David and ain't no cameras on and I ain't in front of folks. They don't know how I am when, like, I might just be talking to Landon or Mylan as my friends, and I might be, you know, like, I'm dressed the way I normally dress. Like, you know, I like wearing suits, and I like wearing, you know, my own stuff and my hats and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And, like, what we got to do is start to humanize that other figure. So, for instance, like, I wear hoodies. I just got through running the lake trying to get my knee back up, but I'm, like, in a hoodie and some Jordans and some shorts, you know what I'm saying? Like, I look like these people that they are dehumanizing. So when I hear stuff like, you know, well, that dude was this and that dude was that, and in the past he did this, in the past he did that, does that mean that he deserved to die? Like, does that mean that he deserved to die? So check this out. Like, both my parents are, like, have been in jail. I have visited both my parents in jail before, you know what I'm saying? In Kentucky. Here and here in California, like, I have seen that. You know what I'm saying? So according to these people that I'm seeing on Facebook, according to these folks, like, if they had an altercation with the police and there was a misunderstanding, they got shot, it would be their own fault just because of who they are and because they don't see us as people. So, you know, I go to work and I got a good job, man. I'm not going front and act like I don't. I make good money. I have good influence and all that good stuff, man. But it's like, there's so much of that weight that you got to carry. You got to, like, when did it come to a point where we got to make you feel comfortable when we the people that's being victimized and brutalized, right? Like, when did it become okay for me, even though I'm watching my people die, I'm watching my people suffer, that I got to make you feel okay so you can continue to live in your bubble? So that's what I've been kind of dealing with. And I've just been writing articles about that stuff. So somebody was like, You up in arms about all this stuff that's happening. You didn't bat an eye when the stuff happened in Chicago. Time out, cuz. First off, I wish you was that juiced in my face, right? Like, I wish, you know what I'm saying? Like, and not just that I'm gonna, like, put hands on you or something like that, but this internet make people so bold. It gives people so much confidence. Yeah. It's like worse than alcohol. It's worse than alcohol. You know what I'm saying? And so people start talking out their neck. But it's like, bro, I was born in Chicago. For the one article that I wrote, or two articles that I wrote about this situation, I've written, what, 6 things about Chicago? Like, I was born there. Like, my people still live there. You know what I'm saying? Most of the articles I write is about the things going on in our community, how we empower ourselves, how, regardless of what the school is, if the teacher's good or bad or whatever, here's the questions that you need to ask so you can get what you need. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing, bruh. What they think about you, like, let's be totally real about that, dog. Like, it ain't much. You know what I'm saying? And, like, we don't have folks speaking on our behalf that's, like, that's making that clear enough for y'all. It took for Jesse Williams, you know what I'm saying? What's his name? I don't want to mess up the brother's name. Did I say his name right?
Yeah. You said it right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, smart brother. You know what I'm saying? That brother's also, he is an attractive, biracial dude that was very articulate in, like, a hip way. And it's starting to hit you differently, right? Even though Killer Mike been saying this, like, you know what I'm saying? Folks have been saying this. And I'm glad that it's hitting the way that it's hitting. But it's like, come on, bro. Like, I can't have a conversation with you questioning if that dude deserved to die. I watched Castillo sit in the car, yo, like, mangled up, dying, while his girl had to calm the situation down. That cop lost his mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was talking to my brother, who is a tactical dude. And just for the record, David is not Will. I just don't want that to get a mix up, because Will, my brother, is also in the Army or whatnot. But my brother was looking at that. And he was like, from a tactical standpoint, like, you don't put the gun in the car. That don't even give you room to operate, maneuver. Like, he didn't know what he was doing from the jump. You know what I'm saying? And then he freaked out. And then it's a baby in the backseat. And I still have to explain this to you. I still have to tell you why there's feelings around it. And then these cops, God bless their souls, I don't want to see anybody die or get hurt. Like, that is a really tragic event. But now I'm watching CNN, and CNN acting like they surprised how this could have happened.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, why would he do, like... Come on, it's not something I would do, and it's not something that I condone, but let's not act like that just came out of thin air. Let's not act like, you know, and I'm not condoning that at all, but I've said this before. Listen, you put a lion in a cage for 400 years. You open that cage up, kind of. And now you tapping that cage. You slapping that lion. You doing all that stuff. You cannot be surprised when one of those lions snaps and turns back into a lion. That don't make it okay. I'm not absolving that dude from what he did. You know what I'm saying? And those families, man, should not have had to feel that. Nobody should have had to feel the things that they felt. But let me be very clear. I'm not forgetting the two lives that I saw taken. We watched two souls leave us. We watched two souls leave bodies that didn't have to leave their bodies. And we watching people justify those things right now because you are afraid of us. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and talk. I just had to get that out. You know what I'm saying? It's not the most articulate. I probably need to spend some time and just kind of write and get it out the right way. But damn it, we on the Cold World Podcast. That's what we do here. We honest. I'm going to let you all respond to that.
Nah, man, I feel like you hit it on the head, Cole, man. Like, one of the things that, like, from my perspective that I hate the most is when you say, like, when you express any type of emotion or outrage to how those two individuals died, you're automatically labeled anti-police. Like, right. Where does that come from? Like, at no point does – they're mutually exclusive situations. Like, two people died. The cops that died in Dallas – same fucked up situation. Excuse me. Same messed up situation. Like,
I don't know how to use a bleep, so that it's. A, I'm just, no, it's gonna, out put, there. I'm just gonna put the explicit tag on it. It's all good.
My apologies, but it's they're not mutually exclusive, man. Like from the standpoint of being somebody that carry and conceal. Like, so if you ask me for my documentation, and I reach for it, but I do the due diligence to tell you what's here, where it is, and that I have to go buy it to get what you need, and you still light me up, like, you can't be mad at my frustration. If I followed the rules and still lost, the game is fixed. On the flip side of that, whomever, and I'm going to say that because that's just my personal stance, whomever killed those cops was wrong.
Right.
Dead wrong. There's no change to the feeling behind it. Like, death is death, like, and wrong is wrong. It's no color associated with it. But at the same token, people get hung up on the unnecessary details. Whether you hashtag something Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, what's significant? The fact that life matters. The reality of it is, you've got two prime examples of where Black lives have not mattered.
Right.
That's the point people want to get away from. It's a hard truth. People are afraid to live in black and white, and not from a racial standpoint, but just what the facts are. You can't blame somebody who's been tased twice for their body twitching. Mm-hmm. So all of these rumors, or not rumors, but these arguments about, well, they couldn't control his hand and he was reaching for. Listen, if you've never been tased.
That brother's hands, both his hands was pinned down.
I saw it.
He tackled that dude.
But I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, as someone who's been tased, I'm 6'1", 295. There's certain parts you just can't control. If you've never been tased before, get tased. I want you to control your body function.
I think that's terrible advice, but continue.
But I'm saying from the standpoint of, you can't call the pot can't call the kettle black. If you've never experienced it, it's easy to look at something and pass judgment when you've never experienced it.
Right.
It's a whole different ballgame if you've been tased. And you understand what that feels like. You don't have control. So if he's been tased twice in a situation, and also they're trying to gain control of his body, he don't have control. So how the hell are they going to have control?
Right.
That's
right.
Where I'm lost. And I'm also confused at how you put your knee on somebody's chest, and you're barking orders, but you're holding a weapon at an angle where somebody, you can't see that. He couldn't see it.
Right.
No matter if he can see it or not. Why is it out? Because at no point is he an actual threat to your health in that situation. Right. It's two of y'all.
Well, he a threat because he a person, man. Because listen, bro, like, I was watching this thing on the internet where it was like, if you had a butterfly in your house and you had a spider in your house, which one are you going to try to catch and release back out? And which one are you going to instantly try to kill? And the point that brother was making was, you're going to try to catch the butterfly because you see the beauty in it. You see the humanity in it. But with the spider, you're going to try to kill that spider. You know what I'm saying? And you would be justified in killing that spider. And that's how America sees us. I also want to make sure that I acknowledge the people online. So the numbers have doubled on Periscope. Thank you all for joining. Thank you all for being there. What I'm learning is Periscope can handle much more traffic than Facebook Live. I know that my Facebook Live people are saying that the signal is weak. Hang in there. Send us a message if the signal starts to go out or whatever the case is. But I want to make sure that all of y'all, you know, that we get the comments from everybody. Thank you for everybody that sent the comments in and the questions. One of the questions that I got, and Landon, I'm going to come back to you in a second, but one of the questions that I got is, how do you process this as a black man, and just how am I, like, how am I dealing with all this stuff, right? Like, so I'm one of those people, I don't necessarily use the term self-care. It's just not who I am as a person. I don't, that's some new stuff. That's some new millennial stuff. I don't know what that is. I think that, so what I wanted to do was, I am working to put together a panel, which will probably happen at the end of this week, with a group of 5 to 7 black boys in Oakland Unified School District, because I want to hear how they processing this stuff, how they're hearing, you know, all these messages that they're getting, how is that making them feel, and I want to do that with them in front of prominent black people. So I want to do that in front of our superintendent. I want to do that in front of our black California assembly member. I want to do that in front of our black school board president. Like, all these folks are black men. I'm also, now that the Dallas stuff is happening, I think I'm trying to find the highest ranking black police officer, the highest ranking black person in law enforcement, because I want them to hear these things as well, because I think that's a lot to process. But man, for me, I none of this stuff is shocking to me. And I think that that's the thing that we got to, like, realize. Like, I'm not shocked when I see these things. It's hard to see. It makes me angry. It makes me upset. It does make me want to get out there and, like, you know, it makes my fuse a little shorter. You know what I mean? It makes me a little more blunt. It makes me feel like I need to give you, because both these people are me. I am the person that you see right now in this hat, in this jacket, you know what I'm saying, that is, like, all entrenched in black culture, that listens to, you know what I'm saying, Jay-Z and Future and all these people. But I am also that person that has multiple degrees, that, like, goes and just reads Baldwin because Baldwin is a beautiful writer and that has done these things, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like I need to show you that other side. I need those spaces to merge more, so you not as afraid of those people. Like, listen, man, them damn degrees don't do nothing for me when I got on the train 3 weeks ago and a white lady grabbed her purse a little tighter. It's like, I'm in a full suit. Listen, bro. Listen, y'all, I am in a full tailored suit. Bro, it's not even the off-the-rack joint, B. Like, it's not the off-the-rack joint. It's the joint where I had to stand up and put my arms out. You feel me? And they had to, like, and they cut it for me. Like, I had to wait weeks to get that. Is you still grabbing your purse? Come on, sir. Are you for real? That's what we dealing with. You know what I'm saying? So, Landon, go ahead, bro. I didn't want to cut in on you, but I did want to just acknowledge our folks. Shonda, Angie, Kyoko, Derek, folks that just joined, and then the folks that just joined here. Oh, you know what? Like, so we just doubled again at Periscope. Periscope got some comments that I can't necessarily repeat, but keep the comments coming. We're going to make sure that we address them. Landon, go ahead, good brother.
Yeah, no, I was just going to, I guess, somewhat piggyback off of what both you and Dave were saying. But, you know, to me, when I saw the videos, much like you, it's not so much surprising, but there is a part of me that's like, you know, every time I see one of these situations, it's like, it can't get much worse than this. And then you look, and these were two situations where it's like, it got worse, and that's what I almost can't comprehend. You know, when I was telling somebody, I think maybe I was talking to my wife, or even when we were doing our podcast, and I was saying, you know, let's say that I half believed, you know, when Oscar Grant was killed, the cop mistook his gun for his taser. Like, if I was dumb enough to half believe that, or if I half believe, like, oh yeah, you didn't realize that you were, like, choking Eric Garner to the point where he could no longer breathe, or if I half believed, you know, Eric Zimmerman thought his life was in imminent danger. Like, even if I half believe those things,
right,
when we talk about now a man with both of his arms pinned down, when we talk about a man literally reaching for the wallet that he was asked to retrieve.
Right.
Like, I don't know how it can get much worse than that, than literally just walking up to somebody point blank and admitting that you were trying to execute them. Like, I don't know where, you know, like, how much worse it can get. And that, I think, is what is scary more than anything else. You know, to much to your point, I also have a master's degree, but I love wearing hoodies, jeans, t-shirts. Like, I don't get dressed up unless I absolutely have to.
I mean,
like,
you know, that hair, you got that hair right now too. You got that Kendrick going on.
And, you know what? And truth be told, the hair was a thing. I was like, I'm doing it. I was not going to cut it just until I finished my thesis, like to get through my grad program. And then it was like, but you know, you see stupid stuff like this. You see that we are seen as a threat. You see all these things. And that was why I was like, I'm going to keep it for a minute. And every time I thought about cutting it, you know, you hear about, you know, the young lady who got her job offer rejected because her hair was quote unquote unprofessional, or our kids being suspended from school because of their hair, or, you know, people saying that, you know, their hair is, you know, a lot of black men cutting their locks and stuff like that because they're deemed unprofessional. Right. And all of that plays into what we're talking about now, like just our image, whether or not it's, you know, life or death, it all plays into the way in which we're portrayed. And that was, you know, that's part of the reason why I kept my hair.
Well, you know, let me speak on that too, though, because so I know the brother that did that. So you talk about the stuff that Steve Perry did with Steve Harvey. I know, yeah. Steve Perry. Steve is all, so Perry, Dr. Perry has been good to me. Anytime I needed something, he's like sent it over. He's like been responsive. And then I know that it's some other folks that have kind of come at his neck. I know those brothers as well. And so this the thing, when you black and in education, it's like a small circle. Like, we all travel. I've run into these brothers, like, we've had conversations and all that stuff. And so I don't know, that wasn't how I took that from him. Like, people kind of got on him around, like, respectability politics and all that stuff. I think what he was saying, the same way that when I show young folks how to wear a suit, right? Now, here's the thing. For me, I like wearing suits. When a brother took me into a men's warehouse and got me tailored, got me cut, like, I used to wear saggy pants, and that, like, I used to do that with, like, you know, and when I was younger, it was like the back ear things or whatever. Like, but when I got some jeans that fit, when I got some pants that fit and a suit, and I saw how I looked, I was like, okay, I think I like this. When I saw the way people were responding to me. So here's the thing. I want young brothers to understand and feel like what that feels like, but you can make the choice. Cause I mean, for as many suits as I got, y'all done seen me. I got J's and Tim's, and I'm in whatever I'm in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am who I am. I don't have to, like, switch those things up. But I just remember that brother getting a lot of flack for that. You know what I'm saying? As long as it was those kids, like, if that's what they wanted to do, if they wanted to cut their locks or whatever, that's on them. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't tell somebody to do that. I just want to put that out there because that was a big thing. I want to read one of the comments that I got. So here's a comment that I'm basing a full article on. But before I do that, I got to recognize the people that's with us live, okay? Y'all got to stay with me and rock with me on this, all right? Because I got live participation. I got to bring everybody in. So so my boy Rob says, I wear a tie and a vest to work every day, folks. And you can tell that most don't see me as an equal. The frustrating part for me is that most people recognize the struggle, and that's what bothers me. To not recognize the struggle is to call us inferior. And then it's some other folks having a conversation. My boy Derek said, I'm 100% with you. I think that was when I was going on one of my rants. And like I said, again, Periscope is just a different crowd. Let me, from all my Periscope people, I acknowledge that y'all are a different crowd. It is a different group of people on Periscope than it is on Facebook Live, but y'all have been doubling in numbers. And I appreciate y'all, man. This is so, the Periscope folks is like one of my, I love my Periscope people, man, because they kind of go in a different way. But here's the comment that I'm responding to. I'm writing a whole article on. This dude read my article where I said CNN is the worst for putting a dead black man on trial, makes CNN the worst type of sucker. That's the article that I wrote, because that's just the space I was in, right? So this dude said, so the guy has a gun on him and is resisting arrest. Not smart. I've seen several occasions where I was confronted by police. I was polite and complied with their orders. I'm still here. 64 people were shot in Chicago over one weekend and no one batted an eye. Black Lives Matter, yes. However, why is it that it only seems to matter on a national level when it's a white cop that shoots a black man? Enough with the racial divide. Use your energy to bring people together, not further to divide. So you know I had a real issue with this. So, like I said, Landon is a person that has known me since he was a child. Like, I'm not even, like, exaggerating. Like, Landon was a good 15 years old when I met him.
I was.
You know what I'm saying? He was dating my homie / brother's, like, daughter. You know what I'm saying? And Landon has always been a good kid. He's always seen me in these streets working with young people. Like,
one of my big stars in working with you.
So I saw Landon's passion. I saw who he was. I gave Landon a job working with young people to basically go after what it is that folks is talking about. Like, how do we build up our own people? How do we lift up our young men? How are we building the spaces for them to learn and grow and all that good stuff? That's what we did. You know what I'm saying? That's what we did. I'm from Chicago. I was born in Chicago. I'm an Oakland boy. I spent the majority of my life here. But, like, my heart bleeds for the stuff that goes on in Chicago. Like, my family is still there. Chicago is in killing season right now. You know how I know that? Because I just wrote an article 2 weeks ago called The Killing Season about Chicago. So when white folks just show up at the end of the party, the tail end, talking about what we should have did, how we don't pay attention to these things, for the most part, that's the world that I live in. So, bro, what are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? The other thing that I want to, like, add to that, right, is I've had my own run-in with police. So when I was a young student doing my undergrad degree at Cal State Hayward, I was dating this girl, beautiful girl, smart girl. I learned a lot from her. She lived in Hayward. So I would go play basketball because that's what I would go do. So one night, I'm going to see her after coming back from playing ball. I'm tired. I got my hoodie on and stuff. I'm in my car. I'm in my little Honda Civic. Green thing. You feel me? I was smobbing, though. I had 212s in the back of that thing. Don't judge me. That's how I was rolling, B. You feel me? You couldn't tell me nothing, Negro. I was fly. Right?
I still want that, by the way. I'm looking to get a whip with some knock in it when I get this money.
This is the thing. I got a little bit of money now, so the cars I buy got, like, bows in it already. But anyway, here's the point, right? The point is that so I get pulled over, cops roll up on me with the guns out, like, hey nigga, get out the car right now. I get out the car, I'm in front of my girl's house, and we had just started dating. I wouldn't even have called her my girl at the time. So, like, this could have, like, really hated on my game at the moment. I just want to put that out there. I could have missed out on, like, this relationship that I was in. So I get out the whip. They, like, put a gun on me, and it's like, yo, we 7-Eleven just got robbed. We know you robbed it, right? I'm like, what you talking about? On I could hear on the walkie-talkie what the description was. I had on a black hoodie, I had on some black shorts, and I had on some J's that I was hooping in, right? I heard them say that the person had on a white shirt and some blue jeans. Like, I did not fit this description. So, basically, these folks made me open my trunk. You know what I'm saying? I got on my knees. I felt a gun on the back of my neck saying, nigga, don't move. And let me just be all the way real with you. It was a white cop and it was a black cop. And the cop that was showing off the most, doing the most, was the black cop. Like, so I sat there while they went through my trunk, moving my shit out the way. Like, excuse my language, I didn't mean to curse, but we already got the explicit tag on here. Don't nobody else do that, all right? Oh, my boy Ryan said, I remember that car. Yes, brother, you've been in that car plenty of times, B. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I sat there and watched them go through my trunk. And so, I'm sitting on the curb with my arms cuffed behind my back while they go through my trunk. So, then they walk me up to my girl's house and it's like, hey, do you know him? And she's like, yeah, I know him. Like, at this time, her neighbors done came out the house. You know what I'm saying? People looking at me. Like, I'm an honor roll student at, like, Cal State Hayward. Like, I'm working with autistic kids. Like, that's the field that I'm going in. You feel me? And it's like, that's that BS that I'm talking about, man. So, like, people was like, people was like, yo, did you get their badge number? Did you do this? No, I didn't get their badge number. I was trying to get up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was just so mad. Remember that funny scene? It wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was funny. In Boys in the Hood, where Trey had just got stopped by, like, the cops. And they was talking about how they hate everything black. And then he just started swinging at stuff. In the Long House. Like, that's where I was at. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, I didn't want to go out that way because I had seen that movie before. I had to be a little bit tougher than that or whatever. But that's how I felt. Like, that's how I felt. I felt helpless in that moment. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for her. I was embarrassed for, like, the people, like, her roommates that lived in that house. Like, because that's not what I'm about. Like, I have worked hard to, like, make sure that wasn't what my life was. I have done everything right. I have done, like, I was going to extra classes. I was taking 20 units. I was working. I was doing all that stuff. I was working with autistic kids, yo. Like, that's what I was doing. Like, I was starting my career. And you just took all that away from me. And, like, embarrass me. And you wonder why folks feel the way that they do about police. On the other side, when I moved here, I had a super thick accent. I lived in Chicago and Kentucky. I came here. Listen, when I said hair, there, and fair, all right, that was her, there, fur, mer, right? Like, you couldn't understand a damn thing that I was saying. I was super country. And I had this coach, Officer Dodd, who was our basketball coach. One of the first people I met here in California. I love that man to this day. I just took him to breakfast earlier this year. Like, we reconnected through my work. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think every cop is bad. But what's whack is ain't none of y'all saying nothing when these other folks is out here acting a fool. And you had that one black lady that spazzed out, and it was rumors that she got fired. Now, I heard she didn't. But, like, come on, man. You can't. Listen, Landon, you my boy. Landon, you my boy. You know what I'm saying? Dave, you my boy. But if you do something that's just stupid, you do something that's just wrong, I'm going to be like, I got love for them, but that was stupid, and that was wrong. You feel me? So, anyway, man, I'm keeping y'all super late. I know this brother probably got to get back on post and look out for Kim Jong-un or whatever. And Landon, I don't know what you're doing over there. You might be, you know, twisting up your hair or some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Getting ready to make a rap album. But I want to give you brothers a final word about 2 minutes each.
Go ahead, Landon.
No, man, I would just say first, of course, thank you for having me on. As I stated, I'm very humbled by this experience. You know, again, I think it's for me, you know, I know that the self-care thing for you might be new. I'm realizing, though, how important it is because I'm still, although I've had time to process, I'm still trying to process. I still don't know where I am with everything. And so I'm just, you know, I'm glad that we got a chance to talk. It helps me to sort some stuff even more. You know, and just to address your comments about, you know, the hair thing again. I just want to make sure. I don't know, you know, Dr. Perry said his name was, or anybody else that was involved. Well,
Steve Perry. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and just for me, you know, and again, this is just with anything. I try my best, although I don't always say the right things. And I would just encourage everybody just to be very careful about what we say about to, you know, these young black people, these young black boys especially. Because again, it all feeds into what it is that we're talking about right now. When we talk about race, class, the way we're viewed, our economics and our finances, all of this stuff plays into us getting killed in one way or another. So, you know, I am glad that we got a chance to sit here and kind of hash some stuff out, talk some stuff out. This is good for me. Hopefully good for y'all, and you know, maybe I can get on another Cold World podcast.
We can
sometime.
Get you back, brother. It's all good. When this post, I need y'all to share it. So again, for the folks that just got here, we had 136,000. When we get to 150,000, I'm gonna do something special. So when the actual podcast come out, please share it. Actually, comment. I need y'all to comment on iTunes. That actually means a lot. So y'all podcast got comments, mine don't. So I need that to happen.
I got like two comments.
It don't, brother, you got comments though, B. You feel me? Be happy for what you got, son. You know what I mean?
We ain't got a Periscope, though. We ain't got people chiming in live. You know what I mean?
All you got to do is turn your phone on, brother. So at Periscope, and we over 100 on Periscope, and we got a lot of folks in and out on the Facebook page. David, brother. Hold on, David. People keep asking me what's in my cup. So check this out, all right? Like, y'all know I like Macallan. I'm not – Macallan is over there in my liquor rack. You know what I'm saying? I do like that. But I am feeling real black right now. It is Hennessy. It's fine. It's okay. I'm grown. But it is definitely the good one.
It's gonna change once he comes back from Paris, though. He's gonna be on some other stuff.
Is that what you think? Is that what I'm gonna do when I come back from Paris?
It's gonna be something. I don't know what it's gonna
be. All I'm doing in Paris is drinking coffee and maybe some wine and chilling at the Eiffel.
There you go. He just told you.
That's it. Maybe some cigars. You know, I like good cigars, man. But other than that, that's it. David, go ahead. You know what you got to say for us, brother?
Like Landon said, man, I do appreciate the opportunity to speak on the Cold World podcast. I feel like I'm one of the biggest supporters and pushers for this to continue to grow and move forward. So I salute your work. I admonish you to keep pushing. Don't get complacent. I know you won't. Just don't forget about us, especially those of us that
are. Stop that. You stop that.
We work on 2K. But anywho, got to get the plug in there. I would just like to say, man, for those listening, those that see this, that see it live and see it in the future, like, keep your military folk in mind. Because for as much as this is a everybody issue, regardless of occupation, I think.
Irregardless ain't a word, but I love you anyway. Keep going.
In spite of, my bad. I forgot we got Webster on the feed.
I'm repping my dog tags, David. Keep going, brother.
In spite of, you know what I'm saying, occupation, like, the struggle it is to see these things, to process them, then put on this uniform and still go out and do what's necessary for the sake of the people that you're fighting for the country you're fighting for. Like, I can say just from my own personal, like, seeing it, you know, you have your initial outrage, but there's a certain level of subduing that I have to go through because I feel a certain type of way. Like I said, I see people that I work with that have access to certain things that, you know, express the way they feel about things. And, you know, it's no point in getting upset at people's opinions from the standpoint of everybody's allowed to have an opinion. But when your opinion becomes malicious and you start to target people, it becomes an issue. Some of these people I work with, you know, when we're in harm's way, the only source of protection or help I have are these individuals. And to now know based off of their social media feeds that I'm less than human or less than adequate unless, you know, we're in a fight or whatnot, it's baffling, man. It's so frustrating to know that you have to deal with these people on a day in and day out basis. Now, again, it's nothing special about the military as compared to anything else that's going on. But when you remove yourself to like a foreign country and the only people you have access to and you know, be it you in an austere location, are these individuals that you see their real opinion, the real truth behind how they act and some of the things they've done that you didn't know where it came from before, it's a tough pill to swallow. So I would just say, irregardless of race, if you know somebody or just the force in general, man, keep us in mind. Because it's real out here.
So somebody said, I think it's split because people are confused about the goals that need to be achieved. Somebody else said, much respect to the brother fighting for our country. I agree. I appreciate somebody else is talking to me about that green Civic because there's a lot of memories in that car. the person talking about that, my boy Ryan. Ryan was like my best friend when we were social workers. I did it for 5 years, and then he bounced. And then there's a story about Mexico where Ryan showed up in his Subaru. You feel me? Drove across the border while we had flew out there. But I will give that story another day because it is debauchery in that story. and I got to make sure ain't none of my students on when I do that story. And then you know what I'm saying? And then somebody kept asking, what is my hat and my sweater? So real quick. So first off, for the folks that don't have iTunes or whatnot, you can listen to every single podcast at www.energyconverters.org. And converters, the end of it is spelled O-R-S, not an E, it's an O. Or you can just type in and search Charles Cole, the Cold World Podcast, and you'll be able to find it. You can listen on whatever. You can hear all the backdated shows. The shirt that I'm wearing is... it is an Energy Converters zip-up jacket that I have. I've ordered a few. It has my name on the back. I know David wants one. He has told me about it. And the hat is my hat as well. It is a do-work hat. These are things that when I go speak outside of Oakland and all that stuff, I tend to wear. No, I don't. I should, though, because I just should. But somebody kept asking where I got that from. I had it made. If you want one, hit me. My email address is charles@energyconverters.org. My Twitter, IG, and Snapchat is @ccoleiii. That's @ccoleiii. David, Landon, do you all have a Twitter or whatever that people can reach you at?
I do have Twitter, although I'm not on it, so I won't really put it out there like that. Again, best place, you can. I am on Facebook, just Landon Hill. Again, our podcast, Hip Hop Roundtable, you can search that on iTunes, you can search it on Podbean. We because it takes three of us just to be half the podcast, Charles, is we're trying to get some stuff.
Come on, bro.
We're trying to get some merchandise and all of that, but, you know, you will hear some very in-depth conversations and topics such as this, just more so centered around hip-hop. But, you know, again, thank you. We listen to every Cold World podcast and just try to be, you know, half the podcast.
Every time you start lying, every time you start telling them devilish lies, Skype start messing up on you because it know that you're out here lying.
I'm just telling you what it is. But in all seriousness, that is where you can find us. And again, I do appreciate being able to be on here. I have listened to every episode. I'm not joking about that. Well,
have you shared it, though? David, go ahead, brother.
I'm sure I've shared one or two. I don't know how many, but, you know.
That's what's up. Well, go ahead, David. You got some information to get to people?
Yeah, man, I'm definitely going to have to get my share game up so I can get my free hat and jacket. But on Twitter, you can reach me at IPT.
Free. We can't get it free?
Free.
I mean, hold on, though. I offered for free. A service in exchange for...
Can I get at least one free and pay for the other one?
Bruh, check this out. Oh, and Periscope folks have doubled again. It's a lot of people on Periscope listening to you, brothers. Keep going. Go ahead.
On Twitter, you can reach me at IPT Square, Indigo Papa Tango, Sierra, Quebec, Uniform, Alpha, Romeo, Echo.
Don't nobody know what you're saying,
I was really confused what you're talking about.
Hey, I spelled it out, and then I gave you that military swag. So got both.
What I'm going to do is you're going to send it to me, and I'm going to put it in the show notes. That's what we're going to do.
There we go. Too easy.
There you go. So people can reach y'all. I want to thank you both for being a part of this podcast. Again, there's some things I want to I have to answer some of the questions that folks have asked. So I'm going to let y'all go soon. I know this is supposed to be like 40 minutes. We had an hour, but we rocking. So it's all good. So somebody just asked, how do I feel about it being called a hate movement? I think that's whack. I think it's really whack. It's not a hate movement. I don't know if there's anything else I need to say about that. I don't know if I need to necessarily justify that. The KKK is a hate movement. The KKK is trying to, like, get their power up and start coming back, and they was doing a rally in Sacramento not that long ago. Like this is not – the Black Lives Matter movement is definitely not a hate movement because Black Lives do matter, man. Like, this is the thing. People always get at me about me saying stuff like I don't want to have kids or whatever the case is, man. But it's like – when I look at the situation and the things that's going on out there, yo, like, I'm not trying to create something and bring something to this world that y'all just don't, like, treat like trash. You feel me? And here's the thing. They used to call us gorillas, right? They used to call us monkeys, right? To, like, kind of, that's like the black slur. But check it out, though. When a monkey got killed because a lady wasn't watching her kid and a kid fell into, like, the thing or whatever, and they killed the monkey. You know what they did? They changed the policies for the damn monkey, yo. I was watching Trevor Noah, right? And it's like, bro, like they made changes after one monkey got killed, after one gorilla. Bro, they done killed 130 of us so far this year, like the police. They ain't changed nothing. So check this out. The thing that they used to use to degrade us, a gorilla, actually gets better treatment in this country than we do. Here's another assessment that I want y'all to really understand. People sat at tables and got ketchup and mustard poured on them during the sit-ins. I go to have brunch today. You know what I got to sit next to? And I hate this. If you listen to the podcast, you know I hate this so much. I got to sit next to people with their dogs, yo. I have to eat. Like, dogs are welcome in restaurants. People didn't have to sit and and protest and get stuff poured on them for their dogs to sit there and eat and drink water next to me eating my food. I just think that that's nasty. But, like, dogs get treated in more respect and reverence in this country than black people do, yo. Like, Michael Vick still can't walk in certain places, son. I just want to put that there. And how do I feel about All Lives Matter? Were you indifferent about the cop shooting that you were against? First off, I feel that All Lives Matter is a stupid thing in the sense of course, we know that all, like, I'm not even going to, like, say, I don't need to say this over and over again. I don't want to see any life lost. I don't want to say that at all. And I definitely mourn for those people's families that died because I don't think that they needed to die. But I also want to say, like, you need to miss me with the All Lives Matter stuff. You know what I'm saying? I lost my auntie to an aneurysm. I was the last person. I was young. I was in my early 20s. And she had an aneurysm. And I went with her to have surgery for that. And she never came off that surgery table. Now, it would have been hella disrespectful and rude if Landon would have been like, yeah, man, sorry about your auntie. But, you know, all lives matter in this piece. You feel me? Like, you know, I mean, diabetes is killing people too. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? That's not what we're talking about right now. We talking about this. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I'm not happy that those cops died. Like, and you shouldn't even ask me that. You know what I'm saying? But I'll answer that once. I'm not answering that again. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody gave me a nice compliment on Periscope that I'm not going to repeat. Thank you, but I don't know what you hoping to get from that compliment right then. It's just not appropriate. So check this out. Thank you all for listening. I'm about to shut down the podcast. I'm glad that y'all are listening in. I'm glad about all the comments. If I didn't get to you, send me a message. You can send me the message on Charles Cole on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. It's C-Cole the Third. That's Twitter, IG, and Snapchat. It's C-C-O-L-E-I-I-I. And you can catch up on all of this stuff at www.energyconverters.org. I got to go and I got to, like, mix this stuff down and get this. And Landon told me to pay for this expensive thing, so hopefully this file ain't lost. You feel me? But what I can do, because I paid for this, I can put this on YouTube too. So we can work it out that way as well. And I can put it on Podbean. And once we get to 150,000 downloads, hits, I will add some other things. I'm thinking about adding an education segment. I'm in talks with some folks around that and what that needs to look like. But we need some support to make that happen. So thank you all for all the support that y'all gave us. I appreciate you all. And that's what's up, man. So on three, we're going to all say bye to the people. But before we do that, man, keep taking care of yourselves. Take care of each other. The hashtag do work means get out there and do something. We can all do something. And the be an energy converter means how are we going to change? How are we going to take all this negative energy and turn it into something positive, something that actually benefits people? That's our job to do as people and the citizens. Landon and David, thank you so much for being on. Just say bye to the people real quick, and then we're going to cut this thing off.
All right, appreciate y'all, man.
All right, man. With that being said, man, peace out. We gone. It's going to be some dread.
Never sweet out. My shooters come for free. So if one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadhead niggas in your lobby. You don't want no problem.